Please turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2, the scripture reading is Ezekiel 2 through verse 11 in chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, hear God's word. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, that I may speak with you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them, who are a stubborn and obstinate children. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As for them, whether they listen or not, or they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving to you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words, which I will speak to you. And listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them, whether they listen or not, thus says the Lord God. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you be pleased to open our hearts to your word. On one hand, a seeming hard word, but, Father, we thank you that there is also embedded in this seemingly hard word a divine procedure. And we pray that we might properly understand that procedure, that divine procedure that you are setting forth in your word before us. So bless us and open our hearts to it. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. a graduate from a local Christian college. He went to law school, and after graduating from law school, interviewed for a job in Washington, D.C., in the office of one of our senators. This young person was interested in the judicial aspect of the work of the Senate, and when asked why the job application, this young person said that she was interested in the furtherance of justice in the world. And as a Christian, you might understand this was the case. The response that she received was shocking. Justice is garbage. Get into the real world and forget your idealism. That was the response she got in the office of one of our senators. We are shocked by such a response, and rightly so, or should be, because morality and ethics lie at the root of the problems that face you and me in this country and in all that we do, whether it's on the job or in our lives. And if I understand the Bible correctly, I am to guide and you are to guide your work and your life by the Scriptures. And Jesus Christ calls you and equips you to do so. And in our text today, this is exactly what we find out in this text, which is about the call of Ezekiel to the ministry. But in it, there is a divine procedure that applies not only to the ministry, but applies to the likes of you and me as you live in this world and I live in this world. And the principle, it seems, is simple, that you are to guide all of your life and work by the principles of Scripture, because Jesus Christ calls you and equips you to do so. That's the lesson which is before us today. And as we look at the text, the first thing that we find out in this text, or that we look at in this text, is that Jesus Christ extends His word to Ezekiel. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10 in chapter 2. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving to you. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And when he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Ezekiel found himself in captivity. He was in Babylon. At the same time, Jeremiah was in Jerusalem, prophesying the ultimate downfall of that great city. The final cataclysm had not yet come. Ezekiel had already been taken into captivity, as Daniel had already been taken into captivity. But the city was not yet destroyed, and Jeremiah was in Jerusalem prophesying the final destruction of the city, which was to come in 586 B.C. Ezekiel was in the captivity already. He was in exile in Babylon, and he was to reinforce the words of Jeremiah, because the people in exile were a rebellious people, and they did not believe the words of Jeremiah and that Jerusalem would fall. And so God raised up Ezekiel to prophesy in Babylon to confirm the words of Jeremiah. And as this was the case, Jeremiah saw a great vision of Christ coming to him. And that great vision of the chariot throne of Jesus Christ is in the first chapter of Ezekiel. And it's a very mysterious vision. But in the end, it is Christ who is on his throne who comes. And in our text, Jesus Christ extends to Ezekiel his word, a scroll. And Ezekiel sees this scroll that it's written on front and back. Very strange. Normally, when you opened a scroll, it was just written on the inside, not on the front and back. And I think this may be an index of the comprehensiveness of the Word of God, that that's part of the idea in the vision. And this scroll is extended, and in it are written lamentations and mourning and woe, because Jerusalem will fall, and there will be more who will come into captivity. Do you realize, friends, that Jesus Christ has extended you the Word of God? You understand that's the case? That in the providence of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven, has been pleased to extend the likes of you and me His Word. And He has done so as the Church of Jesus Christ, in one respect, is the repository of the oracles of God. And the Scriptures have been entrusted to the likes of you and me, the Church. And I would guess that when you came to Jesus Christ, it was through the Scriptures that were entrusted to others like us in the Church. Would that not be the case? And so, in a very real sense, like Ezekiel, Jesus Christ has extended to you the Word of God. And He's done that for a purpose. Look now, if you would, at chapter 2 and verses 3, 4, and 5. Then He said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. In the case of Ezekiel, Jesus Christ extended to him the Word of God in order to send him on a mission. And that mission, as we've already said, was in Babylon, to prophesy to the people in Babylon. But I want you to understand this, that the Word of God was extended to Ezekiel, not so that Ezekiel could pat himself on the back and say, oh, I know the Word of God, isn't that nice? But God had a mission for Ezekiel. And in a similar way, I would say to you that Jesus Christ has extended to you the Word of God, not so that you could say, oh yes, isn't it nice? I can study the Bible. It's very nice. I can read it and understand it. And maybe we can even teach a Sabbath school class, and then we can say, oh, isn't that good? I've done a good job. No. Jesus Christ has extended to you the Word of God to send you on a mission. And it may not be as a pastor or as an elder, but it may be as a farmer or as an engineer or as a teacher. This is no less a calling than being a pastor or an elder. You see, God is about a great business in the world. God is about building a kingdom in the world. And everyone in the kingdom has a part in the world. And you have a part in the kingdom, I should say. And so, you have a place and you have a calling. I was in my little study at home the other day, and I was overhearing my wife talking on the phone. And she was talking about one of our daughters. And the one end of the conversation went something like this. Something like this. this daughter of ours, I thought, was the least likely of our daughters to be a mother and a wife and a pastor's wife. But you know, she's turned into an excellent mother and wife and pastor's wife. Praise God, this is the case. This is her calling. This is her calling under God. You see, that's the marvelous thing. And so it doesn't matter, you see, what you are doing. You have a calling from God. And Jesus Christ has given you His Word so that you can fulfill your calling and your mission. So we see a similar thing in verses 4 and following in chapter 3. Then He said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent, you see that? You are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many people who are unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. I've sent you to them. I've put you on a mission. This is the idea. And so, I say again, God has given you a mission, and He's given you His Word. Not as an end in itself, but with regard to the mission on which He sent you. And then we see something else interesting in Ezekiel, in the very first two verses of chapter 2, that God anoints Ezekiel for this mission. And God not only gives him His Word and sends him on this mission, but God anoints him for the purpose of fulfilling this mission. See, look at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 2. Then He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And as He spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard Him speak to me. Here's the Spirit of God who comes along now and sets Ezekiel on his feet. For what reason? So that he can accomplish the mission on which he is being sent. So, the Word of God is extended. A calling is given, a mission is given, and the Spirit is given to empower Ezekiel to carry out this mission. And this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Ezekiel so that he can accomplish this calling. This is not the conversion of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is an individual who already believes in and trusts the Savior who is to come. This is an endowing with power to accomplish the calling. Let me give you an example from the life of of Saul, King Saul. Saul was a shepherd. And what did God do? God took Saul from being a shepherd and he appointed him as king over Israel. And when Samuel anointed Saul as king, Samuel said to Saul, now, when you go out here, you're going to meet some prophets coming down from a hillside. And when you do, the Spirit of God is going to fall upon you, and you're going to have a change of heart. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. And the Scripture says that the Spirit changed his heart. And the meaning there is that that God changed him from being a shepherd into being a king. And he gave him the ability now to become a king and a ruler in Israel. And that's how God operates. He changes the hearts of individuals so that they can accomplish the tasks to which he sets them. And that's what he does with you and me. See, it's no different. It happens in the case of Ezekiel, that Ezekiel is being called to a very hard task, to prophesy to a rebellious people. Now, I'm glad God has not called me to such a task, to prophesy to a rebellious people. And I wouldn't impute that to you. But, you see, the way God carries out his procedure is this. He extends the word of Christ. He calls people on a mission. And then he gives them his Spirit so that they can accomplish that mission. Whether or not it's on the farm or in the classroom or being a teacher or being a computer tech or being something else. See, God gives gifts to men and women. And he gives his Spirit to enable them to carry out those functions. That's part of what God does. This is part of the divine procedure. And so, what must Ezekiel do? Let's look at our text again. Ezekiel must take the word of Christ to heart. Look at chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, whether they listen or not, thus says the Lord God. Look at verse 10 again. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words. Take into your heart. In the Bible, the heart is the whole inner person, involving the mind and the emotions and the will. Take this word into your mind. Get it in there. Read it. Study it. So it fills your mind. And as it does so, it will begin to permeate your whole being. It will begin to sink down, and it will have an effect on your emotions. Because the living God is about bringing all of your emotions into conformity to His will, so that you begin to look like and to feel like Jesus Christ. And as the Word of God sinks down further, it strikes the will so that you do the things of the Word of God. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to Ezekiel. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart. And you need to do the same thing, and I need to do the same thing. Is that not the case? And then there's this little word, all. Did you notice that little word, all, in verse 10? All my words? Reminds me of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and do what? Make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe what? Everything. All that I have commanded you. From Genesis to Revelation. That's our mandate. To take in all the Word of God. Not just selected pieces of the Word of God that sound good to us at the time. But the mandate that Christ gives to you and to me is to take in all the Word of God. And where Ezekiel looked at the scroll and it was written on the front and on the back and it had words of lamentations and mourning and woe, this word from Genesis to Revelation not only has words of lamentation and mourning and woe, but it has words of great consolation. It has words of great promise. It has words of wonderful grace. And you are to take in, and I am to take in, all of that Word of God. That's for you and to me, for me. If you are going to properly prosecute your calling, this is what it's coming down to, you see. And this means when you take in all of the Word of God, you are not to fear living that Word of God. You see, you are to govern all of work and all of life by the Scriptures because Jesus Christ calls you to do so. And as this is the case and you take in the Word of God, you are not to fear. You are not to fear living out that Word of God properly. Look again at our text. Verse 6 in chapter 2. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence. For they are a rebellious house, but you shall speak my words to them whether they listen or not. For they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel, they may pierce you with thorns and their words as they come to you may sting and they may hurt. Do not fear. And they may even try to kill you, Ezekiel. The sting of the scorpion is deadly. Do not fear, Ezekiel. And I would say the same thing to you, friends. Jesus Christ has extended you His Word. He's sent you on a mission. You are to take to heart His Word, and you are not to fear. You are not to fear. You might say to me, easy for you to say, Pastor. Let me tell you a little incident from my life. When we got out of the Army, I got a job working for Travelers Insurance Company in Dallas, Texas, as an engineer. And in the office where I worked, I got to the place where I was training other engineers. Subsequently, I received a call to a church and we moved to Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, in the midst of a very dark period, I received a letter from the wife of one of my fellow employees at Travelers Insurance Company that I trained as an engineer. And this wife said to me, "My husband just became a Christian, and he and I attribute his conversion mostly to the way you conducted yourself in the office at Travelers Insurance Company." It was my desire to live for Christ. And people watch. And they may also comment. And you may have to withhold yourself from some activities. But in the end, you must not fear to govern your life and your work by the Word of God, because Jesus Christ calls you to do so. And people do watch. And how you live can have a big impact on those around you, when you do not even realize it. And so, God calls Ezekiel and God calls you to govern your life and your work by the Word of God. Look now at the beginning of chapter 3. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, 'Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving to you.' Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. 'Take the scroll, Ezekiel, take the scroll and eat it.' And Ezekiel is caught up in this vision, which is like a dream. And I know some of you have had a very vivid dream, and when you've awakened, you've thought to yourself, 'Wow, was that real? Was what was going on in that dream real?' And that's how it was with Ezekiel as he was caught up in this vision. And Jesus Christ fed him this scroll, symbolically taking in the Word of God and filling his body and soul and his whole being with the Word of God. And it was sweet as honey in his mouth. And isn't that the case, that when you really take in the Word of God and you begin to understand the Word of God and how the Word of God is calling you and how the Word of God is instructing you and leading you and guiding you, its sweetness bubbles up in your heart. And so Jesus Christ today, this morning, dear friends, is saying to you and to me, you must govern all your work in all of your life by the Word of God. Because He is calling you and equipping you to do so. That's the divine procedure. And I want to remind you, and I do remind you, that it's not just pastors whom God calls. It's men and women in all manner of fields God calls. And God equips to do His work in the world. And so, friends, govern your life and work by the Scriptures, because Jesus Christ calls you to do so. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Father, although not well presented, it remains Your truth. And we pray that Your truth might permeate our hearts to Your honor and glory, so that we do live and work in accordance with Your Word, as You have been pleased to call us and equip us to do so. Hear us, we pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.